We got special time downstairs for sixth grade and under, which you see Cathay going down there because she's sixth grade or under, right? And she's chilling with her homies. And it's funny, I say Cathay and everybody knows who to look at, right? We all have a name. And there's a purpose to our name. The reasons that we are named differ. I don't know, maybe you know why your mama and daddy chose that name for you. But you may have heard of a woman who had just had twins, a little boy and a little girl. And as she woke up or came to, she told the doctor, "I hope my idiot brother didn't name the babies like he did last time." And the doctor said, "Well, he did." And she said, "Well, what he'd name my little girl?" And the doctor said, "Well, he named her Denise." She said, "Oh, that's not bad. So why'd he name my little boy?" "The nephew." Some of y'all still working. I like the delay. And some of us have names because of their meaning. How many of you know the meaning of your name? Yeah, my light tower. Pretty bright. And and then you laugh at that. Okay. Some of you are named after somebody, maybe a family member, maybe it's your father, your grandpa, somebody that is loved from the family. Maybe it's just a friend or an actor. Who knows where you got your name? Maybe someone they knew, or maybe just because your parents liked the name. Maybe it's a Bible character. But we know that when a name is mentioned, you think of someone. See, when Daniel was born, I had already wanted that name for years. Before I was even married, I knew I wanted my son named Daniel. But we were very determined when he was first born that he could not be called Danny. Because when I was in college, the most annoying guy I know, his name is Danny. So my association with Danny was not fun. But Daniel was a strong man of God. If I say the word Washington, you may think of George Washington. You know, our American founder, our first president. If I say the word Jordan, you may think of the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. You can argue all you want, but you're going to be wrong. If I say Montana, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. Once again, you can be wrong. Unless you say Mahomes, then we can, you know. But if I say the name Graham, one great evangelist that traveled the world to preach the gospel. Now, we could go on and on with names that have meanings. And those names remind us of somebody. They speak of that person. And so we attribute some sort of character to that name, that we think of certain things with the name. And today, as we continue in this series of In His Image, we're breaking down the Ten Commandments, not as a set of rules, but as God revealed Himself and introduced Himself to His people so that you and I, who were created in His image, know how to carry out His image, how we can show His love, His character. And we saw that as he was about to present these Ten Commandments, that he showed his holiness by requiring a special cleansing from them. He had power with lightning and thunder and earthquake and clouds. And then he gave that first commandment, no other gods. He says, "I am the Creator, I am the only God, and it's His image we're supposed to carry. And he's the only one worthy of our worship." We saw the second command last week. No images. We're not to lower God to a status of a created being just so we can understand Him, so we can visualize Him. Because if we do, He tells us we're going to hurt our kids for many generations. But we thank God for His mercy, because those who love Him and obey Him, He pardons. But today we're going to see the power of his name. The power of his name. We're familiar with the third commandment. Here, Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that you're a holy God, and that we'd be reminded that we're not worthy to be in your presence. But because of your Son, Jesus, we are allowed to approach your throne and one day be in your glory. Lord, I ask that today you give me the words to say, so that your Spirit would work on hearts and we would apply this passage to ourselves to remember how awesome you are. Lord, I ask that you have your way in this service time. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Growing up, if I were to say, oh my God, or gosh, there would be a hand flying out of somewhere across the front of my face. Anybody with me? Yeah? Because that was unacceptable. Because I used God's name in an inappropriate way. Growing up, using God's name was to cuss his name, put him down. However, using God's name is much more than just putting a curse word on the back of his name. It's more than just using his name in anger or in confusion. Using God's name in vain goes a whole lot deeper, and it starts to speak about who we believe God is. And so I pause for a second, and I ask you to evaluate yourself. Who is God? And do I honor him according to what I say he is? If I say that he is holy, omnipotent, omniscient, eternal, do I honor him like that? Or do I just honor him like someone I got to recognize on Sunday mornings at church? And we got to evaluate ourselves here. Because to use his name in vain, it means I use his name without value and honor. The Greek word that they get the in vain from means to use it in a useless way. And you know, when I value something, I don't just throw it around everywhere. I don't just leave it sitting around. I don't use it to replace a curse word. I use my wife's name as a curse word because I honor her. She might use mine. I don't know. I never heard her curse, okay? But I want to honor those things, so I don't just throw them out there flippantly. I don't use it in spite and in anger or even in joking. Because I will protect it because I value it. And so to value his name, we've got to remember the first thing we see here is God's name is an embodiment of his being. His name speaks of who is it he is. His name speaks of his person and of his character. This is the reason God has so many names. And right here in our verse, we see that he uses the term, Lord thy God. The word Lord comes from the word Jehovah. That means the self-existent one. It said, I was not created. That's why he calls himself the I am. And then he uses the word God. Your God is a general word that we use for God, meaning the sovereign one above all. He is your creator. He is your savior. He's the one you worship and you praise. And so when we say his name, we need to remember his position, that he is God. King David said this in Psalms 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. How excellent is thy name. You ever really stop to think about how awesome just the name of God is? Because it represents who he is. See, David, the man after God's own heart, spoke of God's name as the most excellent. And the ESV reads it as majestic. It's the most magnificent thing on earth. It cannot be compared to anything else. Remember the no graven image? Yeah, his name can't be compared to anything else because he is above all else. His glory is above the heavens. It's above all that we know and all understand. So when we take that word God and we use it flippantly, we forgot that he is beyond our understanding. He is what, the one that created everything you understand. In Psalms 111, verse 9 says this, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The one true God who sent redemption to his people, the Jews in his salvation over and over through the Old Testament. Until we see Jesus Christ, the ultimate Redeemer and Savior. See, he's given us this covenant, an eternal covenant of his grace, of his love, because of who he is. And we're told here in Psalms 111, verse 9, that his name is holy and reverent. His name is separated. Remember, holy is separated from all. He is righteous. But it says also it's to be revered. It's reverent. It's respectful. It's honorable. And that's how we are to treat his name. We need to start seeing the name of God as something so important. The name Jesus is one of the names for God. God is so awesome that we don't have one name for him. We use the word God as a general term for him, as we use it kind of an all-encompassing because it's supreme. But there's many names that we can see through the Hebrew and the Greek text that we call him because he is the provider. He's the protector. He's the lover. His name is awesome beyond what we can understand. And this is the reason that as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he started teaching that prayer. He said, pray like this in Matthew 6, 9. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is simply another word for holy. We're to remember the holiness of God. Before I kneel in prayer before the Lord, I need to take a moment and remember who I'm approaching, who I'm coming before, and show reverence to that moment. Because his name represents his being, who he is, and I need to remember, God is not my homeboy. Some of y'all my age remember that time and era. God is not my buddy. God is not the man upstairs. He's not the man in the sky. He's not Sky Daddy or Sky Fairy. That's using his name in vain. Who is he? He is God. He is the Holy One. He is the creator of all. He is the redeemer of those who believe in him. And he is worthy of honor. And his name is of God. If somebody were to use your mama's name the way sometimes we use God's name, you'd probably punch him in the face. And yet, whose name is more powerful? Who redeemed you? Who created you? That is the value of his name. And then the second thing I say is misusing God's name brings guilt. It brings guilt, not just a conscience of, oh, shame on me, but a guilt from God. Look at Exodus 20 again, in verse 7, the second half of it says, for the Lord, Jehovah, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Uh-oh. There's a cost for using his name unworthily. Now, how do I use it unworthily? When you use God's name in any way that doesn't bring him glory and him honor, you're using his name unworthily. You insert it to a song so that you can claim it's a Christian song. You're using it for your own benefit. Use it unworthily. Anytime the name of Jesus comes out our lips, let it be magnifying to him and speak of his character, speak of his greatness and of his work, of his awesomeness. Because it's too easy to start using his name as if it has no importance, acting as if you have no fear of him, no honor of him, no reverence to him. See, in the Old Testament, they used the name of God to make an oath. I swear to God. Right? We still have that term. We still hear it. But in Leviticus 19:12, listen to what God said about that. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. When the name of God was used, it was the highest form of commitment. It was the highest oath you could take. It was not like swearing upon my mother or swearing upon my dog. There is no name higher than God. So if I claim that I am making this promise before God, it's a high commitment. And if this person did not keep their promise, he was using God's name falsely, as God just said there in Leviticus. He was using it in vain. He was acting unreverent with God's name, using it flippantly, worthlessly. He did not have the fear of the Lord. And God made it clear there in Leviticus, do not use my name falsely. There's a danger in using God's word to teach whatever we want. Parents, let's make sure that when we say the Lord tells us, that we are meaning the scriptures have spoken to us. God says, listen, I am the God. And that was in the Old Testament when they made oaths. Today, as a believer, guess what? You carry the name of Christ. You carry the name of Christ. Turn to James chapter 4 with me. Let's start in James chapter 5. Go to James chapter 5. If you're a believer, what's the term we use the most? You're a Christian. What does that term mean? You're a little Christ. It started out as mockery in the book of Acts, and the Christians accepted it. That's how we're supposed to act. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And so they're called Christians. Believer, if you are saved, you're an ambassador from Christ. For Christ. The scripture tells us that specifically. And you carry his name everywhere you go. You carry the name of Jesus into your home. You carry the name of Jesus into your work. You carry the name of Jesus into your school. The way I treat his name is pretty important, isn't it? Because I represent his being. I am speaking of him. And everything we say and do represents him. Everything we do is in his name because we carry his name. So in James chapter 5, look at verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. Why? But let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. You should not have to take oaths. As a believer, you shouldn't have to say, trust me on this one. Why, can't I trust you on the last one? I shouldn't have to say, well, I promise. You should know that everything I say and do represents Christ, so it's going to be truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything we do should be yes or no. It should be clear. It should be cut. It should be honest. No trickery, no deceit, no lies. All we say should be His truth. It should be yay, yay, or nay, nay. When I carry His name, don't care to reflect His character, it means I do not fear Him. And either I am deceiving myself or I'm falling into His condemnation, I will have His wrath. And He'll hold guilt upon us because we don't know Him. We don't trust Him. Now look at James chapter 4. Sometimes when we pray, even though we carry the name of Christ, we feel ignored. You ever one of those? You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And Lord, you haven't done it yet. And sometimes it's because we're like rubbing on that lamp a little bit harder. Come on, genie. Answer me. Come on. I'm waiting. Look at James chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Familiar with this passage. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. But he didn't stop there. And then he says, when ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Feel your prayers aren't answered. Often it's because you're not receiving His guidance, His comfort and peace. You're not trying to honor Him in His name. It's become about you. It's become all your desires. And when you ask amiss, He says. You ask wrongly. You ask with bad motives. That it may consume, you may consume it on your lusts. You don't pray for His will and His ways. You're not trying to say, Lord, I want to honor You, but Lord, I want, I deserve. And He says, no, I'm the Holy One. I'm the Holy One. And often we forget who we're talking to, and we lose our reverence. We lose the desire to honor Him, and we become selfish and self-centered. And you forget that you're to carry His name. You're to fulfill His purpose. Have you ever had just a time of prayer where you don't ask for nothing? Lord, not a healing, not a new job, not new money. Just a time to say, God, thank You for being You. Thank You for providing this, and thank You for this, and thank You for this. Because I'm not worthy. Remember, what are we worthy of? What do we deserve? Two things. Death and hell. All we deserve. Well, that's pretty rude. Sometimes being honest is rude. I can love you to hell, or I can love you with the truth. And when we come to a realization that all I deserve is death and hell, I start to appreciate His holiness more. I start to say, wow, You are an awesome God. And I can just take time to pray and be thankful for who He is. That's not a selfish prayer. That's a prayer of praise, a recognition. Because if you start using His name in a selfish manner and thinking we deserve blessings, we start to forget the meaning of the word God, that He is the sovereign one. He is above all. And God will not honor this attitude and this heart. He's not going to bless the request because you're not acting in faith. Because see, when acting in faith means you recognize His holiness, His goodness, His wisdom, and you start acting in obedience to Him. And you stop expecting Him to change according to your desires. See, it's much easier, and we have done it so much in churches, that we try to mold God into a human person rather than trying to conform ourselves to be more like God. We try to bring God down to our standard rather than letting Him lift us up to His. So we need to back up and remember who God is, that even His name is holy. And when I let that name come out of my mouth, I should not be worthy, but I'm only worthy because of His grace and His mercy to even say His name. And at that point, we start recognizing that, start using His name differently. His name starts to put that smile on our face again. It brings praise from the heart. It'll bend our knees before Him. So He's very serious about, don't use my name in a wasteful way. And what do? We struggle with it. We hurt with it. Right there in James chapter 4, I've pointed this verse many times. I've preached it many times. Because you want to get your life right with God? He tells us right here in just a few verses how to do it. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will what? Lift you up. What's God say? He says, I forgive you. When you recognize. The only unpardonable sin is to reject the Holy Spirit's conviction. That's the unpardonable sin. Oh, it's been twisted, and many have said the only thing that's unpardonable in Scripture is that you reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit so you never come to faith in Jesus. You might claim Jesus, you may talk Jesus, you may know all about Jesus, but you don't come to Him in faith, in obedience, in submission to Him. That's the unpardonable sin. You know what? You used His name in vain. Repent. Be sorry. Here's what he says in James 4. Choose who to submit to. Choose His lordship. Submit yourself to God. Resist the other God. Resist the God of this world. Resist your old master, the devil. And what will happen? He'll flee from you. I didn't make that up. Scripture tells us right there. Just choose. Listen, I'm going to submit to God. He says, then get to know God through His word. Draw nigh unto God. I want to know the Lord. I want to know His ways. I want to know His guidance. I want to know truth. He said, draw nigh to God. What are you going to learn? He's drawn nigh to you from the very beginning. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What does that mean? As I learn about Him, I start letting Him change my life. He'll change my actions. He'll change my words. Said, be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning and joy to heaviness. You know what? When we learn the holiness of God, our sinfulness starts to hurt. And we start to hate sin when we see sin. And what does He tell us? When you come to know God and you chose to submit to Him and you see the power of sin, He says, humble yourself in His sight. What does that mean? Is to place yourself under His authority. That's what humility is to place yourself under. It started with submit, now it says humble. Recognize that you are below Him, that He is the holy God. And when you do that, and you submit and you humble yourself to His authority, what does He say He'll do? He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up. What does that mean? He's going to grow you into the person He wants to use. He's going to transform you from what you made yourself to what He wants to make you. Isn't God good? Isn't God holy? Isn't God truthful? Let us understand that when the name of God comes out of our mouth, we are to represent Him and let holiness be seen. And you carry His name upon yourself. As a Christian, to where every word that comes out of your mouth should honor him. And when I use his name in any way, it's not for my benefit, but to praise him, to give him honor, to give him thanks. Amen? Will you stand with me? I'm going to sing a closing a short song today that I'm sure you're familiar with. It's something that sometimes we need to be reminded of how awesome our God is, how great his name is. And you're familiar with this. Sing it loud today. Don't be shy. And lift in the name of Jesus.